saving effect chains from successful tunes, intermediate drum and bass workflow in Ableton Live. Today we're doing something that separates I made one good tune from I can reliably make good tunes. When a drum and bass track really works, it's usually not magic. It's a few processing recipes that are dialed. Drum punch, bass weight, space placement, and that last bit of glue that makes everything feel like one record. Instead of copying an entire project every time you start a new tune, we're going to harvest those recipes and turn them into reusable effect racks that you can drop into any session in seconds. By the end, you'll have three racks saved in your user library. 1. A rolling break bus rack for punch, bite, and control. 2. A re-space control rack for mono, low end, grit, and movement. 3. A DNB pre-master glue and safety rack for gentle cohesion without killing your transients. And we'll build them in a way that's actually usable long term. Proper naming, versions, tags, macros that don't go crazy, and optional macro variations if you're on Live 11 or 12. Alright, step 0. Pick a successful tune to harvest from. Open one of your projects that you trust, not necessarily your best sound design. Pick the one where the drums sit right without fighting the bass. The bass holds up on big speakers and small speakers, and the mix doesn't collapse when the drop gets heavy. That project is your goldmine. Quick workflow tip. Turn on Info View in the bottom left of Ableton, so when you hover devices you can sanity check what you're looking at. This matters when you're trying to recreate your own chain logic later. Now step 1. Identify what's worth saving and what isn't. This is the big intermediate mindset shift. We are saving process recipes, not song-specific surgery. Good things to save are repeatable approaches. For example, your drum bus punch and density chain, your bass control approach like mono below a certain point, multiband control, then distortion for character, your utility habits, gain staging, width control, metering, safety limiting. Things that usually aren't worth saving are hyper-specific EQ notches you use to kill one resonant note in one break, or chains that only work because that automation is perfectly timed to that arrangement, or sidechain settings that only make sense with one specific kick pattern unless you build the sidechain as a macro-based module. The rule is, if it's a concept you repeat, save it. If it's a patch job, don't. Cool. Step 2. Build the rolling break bus rack. Go to your drum or break group track. This might be called break bus, drum loop bus, tops, whatever. The point is, it's where your breaks and chopped loops come together. We're going to take a core set of devices, put them in a smart order, group them into an audio effect rack, then map the important stuff to macros. Here's a solid stock Ableton chain order. First, EQ8, put a high pass filter, 24 dB per octave, somewhere around 25 to 35 Hz. That's just rumble cleanup. Then if the break feels boxy, do a small dip around 250 to 400 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB, with a medium Q. Don't overthink it. Next, drum bus. Drive somewhere like 5 to 15%, depending on the break. Crunch can be 0 to 10% if you want a little bite. Boom is dangerous on breaks. You can try a tiny amount around 45 to 60 Hz, but in a Live DNB, less is more here. Then transients. This is huge. Plus 5 up to plus 20 if you want snap, or go negative if you're intentionally softening for a more washed jungle vibe. After that, saturator with soft clip-on. Drive 2 to 6 dB, and then trim the output so it's level matched. This is non-negotiable. If the rack is louder, you'll think it's better even when it's worse. Then glue compressor. Start with ratio 2 to 1. Attack. 3 ms if you want it more grabby and punch forward, 10 ms if you want more transient to pass through. Release. Auto is fine. Or set something like 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks, not 6, not 10. We're gluing, not flattening. Finally, utility. Set width somewhere like 80 to 120%. Breaks can be wide, but you want the core stable. And set gain so your bus peaks around minus 6 dBFS before any mastering. In DNB, headroom is part of the sound. If everything's pinned early, your drop won't feel bigger later. Now select those devices and group them into an audio effect rack. Command G on Mac, Control G on Windows. Now we map macros. And here's where we level up. Name macros by function, not by the device parameter name. Macro 1. Call it punch or drive, map to drum bus drive. Macro 2. Snap, map to drum bus transients. Macro 3. Bite or heat, map to saturator drive. Macro 4. Glue, map to glue compressor threshold. Macro 5. Rumble cut, map to EQ8 low cut frequency. Macro 6. width, map to utility width, macro 7, air, map to a high shelf on EQ8 around 8 to 12 kHz, up to maybe 3 dB max, macro 8, output trim, map to utility gain. Now a teacher move that saves you from ruining your own rack. Calibrate macro ranges. When you map each macro, immediately set min and max values. For example, don't let drum bus drive go from 0 to 100%. Keep it in a musical range like 0 to 25%. Same idea for glue threshold. Limit it so you're not accidentally doing 8 dB of gain reduction when you're tired at 2 a.m. That's the brake bus rack. Step 3. Save it properly so you actually reuse it. In the rack title bar, hit the disk icon, save preset. Name it like a producer would name it, not like a computer would name it. For example, DNB Brake Bus Roll Punch V1. Put it in a folder you'll remember, like User Library, Presets, Audio Effect Racks, DNB Racks. Add tags if you're in Live 11 or 12. Drums, DNB, Bus, Punch, Brakes, and one more coach habit. Freeze the Y inside the rack, right-click the rack title, choose Edit Info Text, write two or three lines like, built for 174 BPM brakes, blue target 1 to 3 dB gain reduction, output level match to bypass. 6 months from now, that little note will feel like you time-traveled help to yourself. Also, make it audition safe. Consider adding a utility at the very start of the rack for input trim, and keep your utility at the end for output trim. Map both. That way you can throw this rack on different brakes without everything exploding or getting tiny. Optional but powerful. Build a quick A/B inside the rack. Make two chains inside the rack. One clean pass-through, and one with your color stage like saturator or drum bus. Map the chain selector to a macro called A/B color. Now you can instantly check if you're improving the sound or just changing it. Alright. Step 4. Respace control rack. This one is about making bass translate. Club systems, car, earbuds, mono playback, the whole deal. We want the sub stable and the character controllable. Go to your bass track or bass group. Start with utility first. This is where you decide, is the sub going to be mono? In DNB, most of the time, yes. Set width to 0% if this is sub-focused, or keep it as a control you'll use later. Either way, make sure your gain staging for headroom. Then EQ8, high pass gently at 20 to 30 Hz to remove an audible rumble. Optionally dip mud around 120 to 250 Hz if it's clouding the kick, and low mids. Next, multiband dynamics. And here's the mindset. We're using it as a band manager, not as a make it loud preset. Set crossovers roughly like this. Low band, up to around 120 Hz. Mid band, 120 Hz to around 3 kHz. High band, above 3 kHz, then do light control, low band, small compression, maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction, mid band, a bit more if the res is wild, like 2 to 4 dB, then use per band output to rebalance. This is how you stop the bass from randomly jumping out every time the harmonics shift. After that, add your distortion stage. Saturator works great. Soft clip on, drive maybe 2 to 8 dB, but level match. If you have roar, you can use it, but the principle stays the same. Keep the lows stable, distort mids more than subs. Then auto filter for movement. Low pass 12 or 24. Map cutoff to a macro. Automate subtle sweeps across 8 or 16 bars. Then a utility at the end for width control. Be careful here. Subs wide equals weak drops in real world playback. If you want width, it usually belongs in the mids, not in the sub. A more advanced way, and honestly the best way for re-SEs, is to split by purpose inside one rack, sub-chain, mid-chain, air chain, sub-chain, mono, low pass around 80 to 120 Hz, minimal distortion, mid-chain, distortion and filter movement, but with the lows removed, air chain, subtle chorus or phaser, high passed, just for presence. And here's the key, create movement without wobbling the sub, automate movement on the mid-chain, not the sub-chain. Now macro suggestions for the bass rack. Macro 1, sub-tight, map it to multiband low band threshold or output, subtle range. Macro 2, grit, map to saturator drive. Macro 3, movement, map to filter cutoff. Macro 4, growl tone, map to resonance, keep it in a safe range like 0.5 to 1.5. Macro 5, bass width, if needed, but keep it conservative. Also consider a sidechain ready module. Add a compressor with sidechain enabled, but while building, set audio from to no input. Map threshold to kick duck. Map release to recovery. Then in a new tune, you only choose the kick track and you're ready instantly. Save this rack as DDNB Reese Control Mono Low Plus Grit V1. Step 5. Build the DDNB Premaster Glue and Safety Rack. This is not mastering. This is help the mix behave while keeping punch. Create a pre-master track. Route all your music buses into it, then route pre-master to the master. This keeps your master clean and gives you a consistent place for light glue. Chain order. EQ 8 first. High pass at 20 to 25 Hz. Gentle. Optionally a tiny high shelf at 10 to 12 kHz. Plus 0.5 to 1.5 dB if the mix is dull. Then glue compressor. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 10 ms to keep drums punchy. Release auto. Target only 0.5 to 2 dB gain reduction in loud sections. Then saturator, soft clip-on, drive 1 to 3 dB. This should be density, not audible distortion. Then limiter as safety. Ceiling at minus 1 dB. This limiter should barely work. It's catching occasional peaks, like 1 dB or less. If it's shaving 5 dB all the time, you're mixing into a limiter and you won't know what your mix actually sounds like. Save as DNB Premaster Gentle Glue Plus Safety V1. Important note. Don't bake your final loudness limiter into this rack unless you always want that workflow. Most people regret that later. Step 6. Make racks adaptable with macro variations. If you're on Live 11 or 12, this is where your racks become a mini production system. Create variations like Roller Clean, Jungle Crunch, Neuro Bite. Each one stores macro positions, so you can jump vibes instantly without touching the device guts. Also consider a mix bus safe mode variation for writing sessions. Less glue. Peak catching off, slightly lower input. Compose into that, then switch to your main variation when you're ready to judge impact. Step 7. Arrangement-aware usage, because DNB is about sections and energy. In the intro, use the cleaner variation. Less saturation, less glue. Let it breathe. At the drop, push drum drive slightly. Add a touch of glue, but keep headroom. In breakdowns, narrow drum width slightly, pull bass mid-chain down a bit. Push reverb sends up, then reverse it for the drop. That contrast creates impact without needing more level. Second drop escalation. Don't add 10 new plugins. Add 1 or 2 dB of perceived density by nudging a level-matched heat macro or slightly increasing snap and duck. Memorize this rule. The rack stays the same. The macros tell the story. Now quick common mistakes to avoid. First, saving racks without gain staging. This audio version is shortened for playback.